First will be John Linderman, who currently serves as the AYK Regional Supervisor with the Division of Commercial Fisheries, and he's responsible for development and oversight of the research, management, and administrative programs operated by the division in the AYK region. He will speak to Chinook salmon management challenges in western Alaska. And directly following him will be Tom Vanya, and he is the ADF&G Cook Inlet Regional Management Coordinator for Sport Fish Division. And during his career at Fish and Game, he's conducted research on adult and juvenile salmon abundance and served as the Yukon River Area Management Biologist for Commercial Fisheries Division. So first, John Linderman. John.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for being here today. I'll be presenting an overview of Yukon River Chinook fisheries and provide some insight into current challenges associated with management of these fisheries within such a large and complex river system. The Yukon River drainage is the largest in the state and among the largest rivers in North America. From its origin in northern British Columbia, it flows 2,300 miles through the Yukon Territory of Canada and across the bulk of the state of Alaska to its outlet at the Bering Sea. Yukon River Chinook are generally broken up into two populations. Canadian origin Chinook, which are those fish that spawn within the Canadian portion of the drainage, and Alaskan or U.S. origin Chinook, which spawn in the Alaskan portion of the drainage. Each of these populations contributes approximately half of annual Chinook runs. During annual spawning migration, Canadian origin Chinook are weighted towards the first half of the run, while Alaskan origin fish are weighted towards the second half. This figure expresses this based on genetic composition of annual Chinook runs. The red bars representing Canadian origin fish are a larger proportion of the run at its start in early June. Their proportion then declines as the run progresses through its end in July. Conversely, Alaskan origin Chinook, represented by the yellow bars, are a smaller proportion of the run at its start and increase as the run progresses through its end. Although this trend exists in any given year, it is important to note that Alaskan and Canadian origin Chinook are always present in the run at any given point. This stock composition of the Chinook run is indicative of the reliance Alaskan fishermen have on Canadian origin Chinook, and it also presents a significant challenges to management. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is the lead agency responsible for salmon management in the Yukon River of Alaska and works collaboratively with federal agencies managing Alaskan subsistence fisheries. Additionally, given the 50-50 contribution of Alaskan and Canadian origin Chinook to annual runs and the transboundary nature of Yukon Chinook fisheries, they are also managed under an international agreement between the United States and Canada within the Pacific Salmon Treaty. The Department of Fish and Game is also the lead agency for the United States within this agreement and the international regulatory body that facilitates it called the Yukon River Panel. Therefore, management of Yukon River Chinook not only requires providing for sustained yield in Alaska, but also providing fish across the Canadian border to sustain Canadian stocks and provide for Canadian fisheries. To achieve this, there are four primary goals for management of Yukon River Chinook. In order of priority, these are: 1, manage Alaskan fisheries to ensure escapements in Alaska and Canada are adequate to sustain future runs and provide for use of the fishery through the sustained yield principle. 2, endeavor to meet escapement and harvest sharing objectives under an agreement between the United States and Canada. 3, provide for subsistence harvest as the priority use consistent with the sustained yield principle. And 4, provide for healthy and sustainable commercial and recreational fisheries on surplus fish in excess of escapement and subsistence needs. Achieving management goals requires knowledge and input on Chinook populations and fishery information. This is accomplished through an array of research and assessment programs spread throughout the Alaskan portion of the drainage. These include the use of test fisheries, sonar, weirs, towers, fish wheels, and aerial surveys to assess run timing, run abundance, and escapement. Harvest is accounted for through required reporting and house-to-house subsistence surveys. And collection of age, sex, length, and genetics information is taken for the total run, the harvest, and the escapement. More recently, research into the marine environment has been initiated to assess juvenile abundance and fitness and collect various biological information associated with the marine environment. It is important to note that nearly all of these programs are operated through collaboration between state and federal agencies and local NGOs and tribal organizations. This figure is one example of knowledge gained from these various programs. It shows estimated total annual runs of Yukon River Chinook from 1982 through 2010. What is most important to note from this figure is the decline in the average total run abundance over the last 10 to 15 years. On average, it has declined by approximately 100,000 fish since the late 1990s. The reasons for this decline are not well understood. However, it is a primary reason for more conservative and conservation-oriented management over the last decade. This decline in production has resulted in many challenges to Chinook salmon management. The following is not a comprehensive list of all challenges Yukon managers face, but are representative of challenges associated with the recent trend of low run abundance. The first challenge managers had to address was how to reduce exploitation or harvest to ensure the overriding priority of achieving adequate escapements. As many individuals familiar with Yukon fisheries know, the commercial Chinook fishery has declined dramatically over the past decade to the point where there has been no fishery in recent years. Additionally, implementation of the subsistence fishing schedule and restrictions on the subsistence fishery in more recent years were also implemented to reduce exploitation. These management actions have largely been successful at reducing exploitation, as evidenced in this figure. It shows the estimated total run of Canadian origin Chinook from 1982 through 2009 in the blue bars, and the estimated exploitation rate of Canadian origin Chinook by U.S. fisheries only, as represented by the black line. The exploitation rate from 1982 through 1999 averaged 56%, while the average exploitation rate from the more recent years of 2000 through 2009 has declined to 38%. Unfortunately, management actions taken to reduce exploitation have come at significant cost to Yukon River fishermen. The commercial Chinook fishery was the most valuable within the drainage, and its decline has had a significant economic impact on users, especially in the lower Yukon River area. Subsistence users have also had to bear significant cost. They have had to adjust to fishing under prescribed schedules, which is in many ways incompatible with their traditional practices, and in more recent years have had to sacrifice further by significantly reducing their Chinook salmon harvest. These management actions have been necessary to provide for escapement and ensure Chinook runs are sustained for the future, but the cost to users has certainly been high. An additional challenge to management is limitations on the data available to assess and understand Yukon Chinook populations. A primary impact of data limitations is the accuracy and precision of information managers rely on for making decisions. This has far-reaching effects on a range of management responsibilities, including annual forecasting and in-season decision-making, and longer-term management plans and strategies. The size and remoteness of the Yukon River drainage and the complexity of its fisheries pose significant challenges to improving accuracy and precision of information available, and it likely always will. Although our understanding of Yukon Chinook has improved dramatically over the years, one factor, a lack of long-term time series, will always pose significant challenges. For example, this figure shows estimates of Yukon Chinook harvest since 1903. The yellow bars from the early 1960s to present are believed to be accurate estimates of total harvest, which is predominantly subsistence and commercial. Prior to the early 1960s, there was no accurate accounting of subsistence harvest, so the red bars dating back to 1903 only represent commercial harvest estimates. So we know the data available does not accurately reflect total harvest over the last century and have to focus on a more limited time series that only provides insight into the last half century of trends in harvest and exploitation. Is the recent trend of low abundance unique, as is indicated in the harvest trends since the early 1960s, or have Yukon Chinook populations experienced similar trends in low abundance historically? These are questions that cannot be answered when the availability of accurate data sets spans relatively short time series. An additional challenge faced by managers is how to balance the need for conservation on one species while providing for harvest opportunity on more abundant species that are not of concern. This is most evident on the Yukon River when trying to balance the need for conservation on Chinook with opportunity to harvest more abundant summer chum salmon. This challenge is best described by the following figure. It shows daily passage estimates at pilot station sonar in 2012, with the blue line representing Chinook and the red line representing summer chum. The Chinook run was among the lowest on record in 2012, with a cumulative estimated passage at pilot station of just over 106,000. The summer chum run was above average in 2012, with a cumulative estimated passage at pilot station of over 2.1 million. The Chinook run was not large enough to provide for escapement and average U.S. subsistence harvest, while the approximate number of chum available for commercial harvest was over 1 million. However, the Chinook and summer chum runs completely overlap, and the incidental harvest of Chinook during a summer chum fishery cannot be avoided. Given the management priorities to provide for escapement first and provide for subsistence harvest as the priority used, the incidental harvest of Chinook in the commercial fishery must be kept to a minimum. With gillnets being the predominant gear used in the commercial fishery, this is much easier said than done. Implementation of more focused management strategies and regulatory gear changes have made progress in this regard. This has included the ability to restrict the sale of incidentally harvested Chinook, thereby eliminating monetary incentive to maximize incidental harvest. In the lower river, managers have focused commercial summer chum periods in subsections of fishing districts where Chinook abundance is low and time commercial periods at the tails of Chinook pulses to reduce incidental harvest. However, these strategies are only effective to a point and still result in foregone summer chum commercial harvest opportunity. Recent regulatory changes have more potential by directing managers to restrict commercial gear to fish wheels only and require live release of incidentally taken Chinook. This may allow for higher commercial chum harvest while significantly reducing mortality on Chinook. Unfortunately, fish wheels would be difficult to use in all Yukon commercial districts, but this approach was used successfully in Middle River commercial fisheries in 2012. Managers will continue to implement new research and assessment programs and evaluate strategies and regulatory changes that address these and all challenges to Yukon fisheries management. Input and evaluation from users will be critical to this ongoing process and the success we all seek. We welcome the input from all stakeholders and look forward to your participation. That concludes my presentation on Chinook, and I guess we might want to hold questions until Tom's complete.
That's right. Thank you, John.